The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Avalara. For e-commerce brands, tax compliance gets more complicated with every new state, channel, product, and market. Avalara Agentic Tax and Compliance helps automate the work behind the scenes so merchants can deliver a smoother customer experience. With accurate tax calculation at checkout, clear visibility into tariffs and duties, and fewer surprises for customers when their order arrives. Avalara works with e-commerce platforms like Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, and more, helping teams manage compliance faster and scale with more confidence. To learn more about Avalara's e-commerce compliance solutions and explore resources built for growing e-commerce brands, go to avalara.watsonweekly.com for more details. It's June 29th, 2026, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Instacart just sold your cart to a pizza chain. Amazon built a holiday it never has to share. FedEx grew revenue 13%. The real number is 3. Khan sold agentic commerce. Nobody sold the proof. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains 5 items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Instacart just sold your cart to a pizza chain. Papa John's wants to sell you a pizza at the exact moment your fridge goes empty, so it bought the data to know when that happens. The chain ran a campaign called Empty Fridge with 3 partners, NBC Universal, Instacart, and Carrot, the media agency owned by Dentsu. It ran from late April through mid-June on Peacock, NBC Sports, and other NBCU streaming. Here's how the plumbing works. Instacart knows who buys the staples, eggs, milk, meat, produce. You get the idea. From that, it can guess which day of the week a given household runs low. NBCU then serves those households a Papa John's ad on wherever they happen to be streaming. The creative then shifts based on what you buy. A meat shopper gets a meat pizza. There is a QR code and a line, light on groceries. But set the pizza aside, the real move came from Instacart. And they confirm this is the first time it has handed its first-party purchase data to a brand outside the packaged goods world to use on NBCU inventory. Papa John's is a restaurant, not a CPG brand, and that line got crossed here. I think the rest of the story is really that targeting logic. Papa John's sorts pizza buyers into 3 groups: people with standing pizza nights, people throwing a party, and the spontaneous orderer who just caves when the fridge is bare. This last group is the target here, and the CMO, Jenna Bromberg, says an ad lands harder when it hits someone who is tired and out of options at the end of the week. And wow, this hits a little close to home, this story. Carrot's Carrie Drinkwater described the goal as knowing what's in your fridge without being too creepy. And that qualifier, while it may not be true, it's carrying a lot of weight. And the part that nobody wants to say out loud is that there are no results yet. Bromberg says order growth is the number one metric. NBCU says it's measuring sales lift among new customers and running a study on top of that. None of it has come back yet. And that precision is the pitch. It's not yet the proof. So where I land is the targeting is super clever. Is all this collaboration actually durable? A QR code on TV asks a tired person to pick up their phone and aim it at the screen. The CMO admitted the results have been a little wonky, and the model assumes an empty fridge predicts a pizza order, which it could also predict a grocery run, but I get where they're headed. Overall, though, what's in your Instacart is now targeting fuel that follows you onto a broadcaster's streaming app. And for all those people who just swear they're talking in their living room, then they pick up their phone and they're being retargeted based on what they had a conversation with their wife or husband. That's going to keep happening more, folks. And the trade got made privately for a pizza ad. And so watch where this goes next. Our second story. Amazon built a holiday it never has to share. Amazon Prime Day just ran June 23rd through 26th. 4 days, and the date is kind of the story. This is the first June Prime Day since 2021. Amazon normally runs it in July, and this year it pulled the event forward by several weeks. The reason Amazon gives from the Prime VP is a crowded July. FIFA World Cup runs into the middle of the month. 4th of July is America's 250th this year, and Amazon didn't want to fight any of that for your attention. The strategic read is probably simpler than the excuse by the calendar. Amazon moved Prime Day to June to own a stretch of calendar that no one else controls. So compare it to Black Friday. Black Friday is shared. Walmart, Target, Best Buy, Amazon all fight on the same day for the same shoppers. But Prime Day works differently. It sits behind a paid membership and Amazon sets the date. On Black Friday, Amazon is one store among many. On Prime Day, Amazon is the only store that matters because it wrote the rules and picked that day. So when July gets loud, Amazon is trying to claim a quieter week instead, and the four-day format seems to be earning its keep in two ways. First, it smooths the fulfillment spike that the old two-day sprint used to create, and it produces 4 days of high-intent shopping data instead of two. That data feeds the advertising business, which has quietly, well, maybe not so quietly, become one of Amazon's fattest margins. Now, the numbers the press release lead with, Adobe projected a $26.3 billion in U.S. online spending across the window. Now, against the macro picture, CPI rose 4.2% in May, the fastest in more than 2 years. Fortune reports average order values down 17%, with more shoppers reaching for buy now, pay later to get through checkout. So a record spending figure can sit right on top of a household that is buying less and borrowing more. So read the headline slowly. And my take, the question everyone asks, is Prime Day the new Black Friday, kind of misses the point. Black Friday is a holiday Amazon has to share. Prime Day is a holiday Amazon built so it wouldn't have to. So the June move is a clear proof that they're setting the terms and everyone else is just following. Our third story, FedEx grew revenue 13%. The real number is 3. FedEx reported its fourth quarter on Tuesday and it closed the book on a big fiscal year. Revenue for the quarter hit $25 billion, up 13%. The company spun off its freight business on June 1st, and it switched its fiscal calendar from May to December, so the next report covers a 7-month stub year. Now, there's a lot packed into one earnings call, but let's try to pull out what matters. Starting with the 13%, which it looks great, but most of it is actually fuel. Jet fuel nearly doubled this quarter, from $2.33 a gallon to more than $4. FedEx passes that cost through as a surcharge, and that surcharge revenue inflates the top line. If you strip that out, the quarter looks quite different. Adjusting operating income grew 3%. Margins didn't expand. They actually came down 70 basis points. So the operating story says 3 instead of 13. But there is something more real underneath it. FedEx is pricing up. U.S. domestic yields rose 10% in the quarter. International priority rose 16, but volume didn't really move. So that's their strategy really working as designed. They're chasing actually higher yielding freight and stepping away from cheap volume. Ground economy shrank, international domestic fell, but that's business they're actively running away from because they're raising the prices on it. And if you ship packages for a living, FedEx wants fewer, more profitable boxes and will charge you for the privilege. Then, of course, there's the freight spinoff, and that timing deserves a little bit of a pause. FedEx separated freight on June 1st. Freight's operating income had just fallen 59% for the year. Its margin slid from the low 20s into single digits. And FedEx handed shareholders that business at the bottom of its cycle. And you can call that maybe shedding value, releasing value. You can also call it getting a weak asset off the books before it drags the parent down, which seems like what's happened here. What's left is kind of a leaner company that could be a target for a consolidation. The lowest capital spending in FedEx history at 4% of revenue and a bet on two verticals. Healthcare, which is now $10 billion in revenue, and data center logistics growing double digits on the back of the AI buildout. This was a good quarter dressed up to look like a great one, and the fuel surcharge kind of provided that kicker. The freight spinoff flattened the growth profile, and if you take both away, you have a company growing operating income in the low single digits, holding its margins, and spending less than ever to get there. And that can be a decent business, disciplined, it can generate cash, but it's not momentum exactly. FedEx is guiding to 11% revenue growth next year, and three of those points are also fuel again. So the question for management is really, once the fuel comparison normalizes and freight is kind of behind you, what's the real growth rate of the company you have left? And in December, we'll find out. And our last story. Khan sold agentic commerce, but nobody sold the proof. Khan Lions wrapped this week in the advertising industry's biggest gathering, 5 days on the French Riviera, baby. If you sell things online, this year mattered more than usual. One word ran through every panel and every beachfront villa. Agentic. As in AI agents that shop and buy on your behalf and decide what you see before you ever search. But what actually got announced, Amazon launched Alexa Plus Agentic Ads. You see an ad, you ask it a question, you complete the purchase, and you never leave the ad. What? Food delivery, concert tickets, Papa John's signed on to test, along with a Sony ticketing arm. Amazon timed the reveal to Prime Day, which tells you how badly they want this. Google reworked its smart bidding controls, and OpenAI spent the week courting advertisers on, on the Riviera. Criteo says it's now more than 2,000 brands inside ChatGPT. And of course, retail media, the industry puts the number near $150 billion, the fastest growing channel in advertising, and that figure comes from those who are selling it. Walmart Connect showed up with Vizio and a shoppable TV hosted by Tan France. Walmart also moved to buy a small business ad platform called Vibe, ironic, and its 10,000 advertisers pointed straight at Meta and Pinterest. One line from the floor of the show stuck with me. An executive at the agency VML said the recommendation is becoming the new shelf. And the idea that the algorithm suggests is the spot, ahead of even the search box itself. So while the con is a sales conference kind of dressed up as an art festival, almost everything you heard this week was capability and intent. Very little of it was actual results. And the one piece of research that cut against that noise came from a company called Typeface. Their report found that campaigns are taking longer to ship, even with all this AI. A third of the companies they surveyed needed 1 to 2 months. 16% said they felt prepared. And against the agentic pitch, the promise is, of course, speed and autonomy, but the reality on the ground seems like it's going in the other direction. And of course, you can't ignore agentic commerce, but I am telling you to watch one thing. When an agent sits between your brand and your customer, who decides what the agent recommends? Whoever owns that recommendation owns the shelf. And right now, the companies building the agents are the same companies selling the ads. So nobody on the beach wanted to answer that question, and so the world turns. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, Redo, a post-purchase platform, announced it's raised $81 million in Series B funding at a reported valuation of $1.25 billion that will be used to further product development and international expansion. That is a heck of a lot of returns. Story 2. Orderful, an EDI platform, announced it's raised $35 million in Series C funding that will be invested in product development and used to grow its global partner network. Story 3. Walmart announced it's entered into agreement to acquire Vibe.co, a self-serve connected TV advertising platform, for a reported $1.4 billion. Story 4. Tire Finance announced it's provided Glossier with $45 million flexible line of credit. The revolving credit will be used to support Glossier's growth. And finally, Bed Bath & Beyond. Remember those guys? They have entered into an agreement to acquire real estate platform Fathom Holdings in an all-stock transaction, implying an equity value of about 53. What the fuck is this? That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. I also write a newsletter you can subscribe to at watsonweekly.com, and you can find the podcast at the same place.